Think of our Lord Jesus coming from the glories of heaven, where he is worshipped day and night by the angels, by the spirits of just men already in heaven. Think of how he looks into the face of his Father in pure, perfect worship and harmony. And then he is translated down into this world as he was in his incarnation into Mary's womb and born into Bethlehem in a manger. And he sees a world that is so wretched, a world that is so filled with vanity, men quibbling over empty things that satisfy not. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. You will find that the Bible is filled with farming illustrations, agricultural events, people of the soil tending to the crops and to the harvests, gathering them in. Here the Lord Jesus told of a man who had very wonderful hopes of a record harvest. He was pondering to himself that he would pull down his old barns and build greater, and by this great excess that he would have goods for years to come. He was feeling exceedingly comfortable with himself and very confident of his hopes in the world. But that night they were very suddenly dashed when the Lord spoke to him and said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." And so we are reminded, firstly, that we have souls, and that life in this world is temporary, but that the soul lives on, and there is an eternity for which we ought to prepare. I wonder today, are you prepared for eternity? Have you made your peace with God? Are your sins forgiven? Have you absolute assurance of God's salvation? My prayer today is that through this broadcast that you will be brought to that peace with God. We're going to move firstly to a hymn, "Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me." And in this we have a confidence that we are not coming boasting, but coming as sinners and trusting in the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse us from sin. Then we'll go to the reading of this passage, and then to the story itself, and of the message which the Lord Jesus gave to this rich man, this fool. Oh, tonight I pray that you will not be a fool. Luke 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're moving right now to our ministry here at our Free Presbyterian Church, bringing you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Stay tuned right to the end. May God bless you through his word today.
Look at chapter 12:31. Luke 12:31. I would call this the conclusion, the bottom line of this whole event, and the wisdom of the Lord speaking here. He says, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, that now becomes the priority of the believer in Christ. The worldly man, he seeks material things, and if God blesses it, that's okay. But the Christian turns that upside down, or turns it around, and he seeks the kingdom of God, and God promises
all these things shall be added unto you. As we keep our eye on honoring and following the Lord, trusting in Him, He will take care of the food we need, the clothes we need. That's all in this chapter. We read it. He talks about clothing the fields and the lilies. Be not anxious for the morrow shall take care of itself. That's the Christian life now. We seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto us. Are you doing that? That's the Christian way. People talk about all kinds of insurance for this life. And maybe you have your house insured. Maybe. Maybe not. And if your house burned down while you're at church, the roast in the oven somehow goes on fire and the smoke is belching out of your home when you drive up the roadway, as happened to a young man in our Greenville church once. He was at an evening service, and on his way home, the flames were bellowing out of his home and the smoke. And if your home is not insured, you're a fool. You're the fool. Your car is insured, I hope. It's illegal to drive even a block on a public highway without insurance. Why? Something might happen. And it's not just what you do wrong, it's what the other guy does wrong. And if you have no insurance, is your life insured? Some people take on risks in life, and therefore they insure their life so that if they pass away suddenly, the bank is covered and family is covered and all of those things. But the big question is your soul insured? Soul insurance. Because it is certain that you will die. And what about your soul? Not what about your body. Your body will be buried. You'll get a decent burial. I remember one of our ministers, way back in the early pioneer days of our denomination, was asked, well, you know, if we leave the established churches, which have graveyards and everything, where will we be buried? And the Reverend Foster answered, well, I've been driving around the country almost every day, and I don't see any dead bodies lying around. Everybody gets buried. Your body will be looked after by somebody. But it's your soul. It's your soul that needs to be saved. The heart that is beating within your bosom right now beats 4,800 times an hour, 115,000 times per day, 420 million times per year, and 29 billion times over 70 years. But one day it's going to stop. Won't beat anymore. I looked into a casket yesterday. Someone touched the body and said it was cold. Life is gone. Simply put, time is running out. And you have an appointment to keep as this man. I have a kind of a legend. And I've told this story a number of times, but I want to take liberty. If you've heard this before, forgive me. So I'll beg your forgiveness before I do this. But there is this legend. It's the legend of a merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to the market. And he returned after a while, agitated and filled with fear. His master said, and what's wrong? And he said, down at the market, I bustled with a woman and she told me that she had an appointment with me. And it turns out that that woman is death. Can I borrow your horse because I want to ride over to Samarra, get away from all this? And so the owner went to the market himself. And when he was there, he met the woman and he said, what did you say to my servant that filled him with such fear? And she said, well, I told him that I had an appointment with him. And he said, well, he's ridden over to Samarra. And the woman said, well, that's where the appointment is, tonight. He was riding right into it. Now, that's only a legend. I want to make that clear. There's no book, Bible book, chapter and verse for that one. It's only a legend. But in the providence of God, it happens. And Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God.
are you preparing? What preparations have you made? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I was born into a Christian country. My parents go to church. I go to church with them. But what kind of heart preparation have you made? Is your heart right with God? Is your soul saved? Now you bring your body into church and you sit in the seat. That's your body. What's happening to your soul? Is it redeemed? Is it bought by the blood? Do you have peace with God? Are you on praying terms with the God of heaven through Christ, the only Savior of men? That's to prepare. And I want you to prepare. That's my burden. That's why I'm preaching this today. I want you to be prepared. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to perish. I want you to be saved. I want you to have eternal life. Can I come alongside you and address you just one-to-one and say, look, please, this is your time to be saved. If not, you may be lost. Another point here is those who trust in earthly things alone will lose all. In verse 20, notice the question. Verse 20. Then, whose shall those things be? He lost all reason and died a fool. The word fool is the opposite to discretion. He threw all discretion and good judgment out the window. And that's what riches do to people. They make people crazy. Riches make people do dumb things. Or the pursuit or the yearning for riches make people do dumb things. You ever read the history of the building of the Panama Canal? It was a project that had firstly been taken on by the French. And they ran into not only geological problems, creating that canal through mountainous areas and a lake and so on. It just, the task was so enormous. But they ran into health problems with malaria. And they didn't understand how to treat people for malaria in those times. And it's reported that in the building of the Panama Canal, there were 20,000 lives of workers and families lost. Not just to accidents at work, but to malaria and diseases. And the task bankrupted the country of France. They just had declared bankruptcy and they abandoned the project. It was taken over by the Americans. Somehow they discovered what was creating some of the diseases and they were able to finish the project. All for this mastery of merchandising to find a route between the Pacific and the Atlantic. Think of the gold rush. Think of the thousands that took off in boats and wagons and made their way to the Alaskan gold rush. They left their farms, they left their work, they left their families. They faced deprivation in the wild hope that they could drive a stake and eventually strike gold. In the majority of cases, it broke lives, families, and hearts. It led people to adopt lives of crime and survival that was just horrible. All for this get-rich-quick scheme. It's the same today with drug lords. Why do we have a drug problem in our country? It's because of the love of money. And the pushers of drugs are doing it for their own ends. They're the one who drive the Escalades and the fast cars and the living mansions. This is all about money. They're willing to kill hundreds and thousands to push their drugs to get rich. No wonder the apostle said to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. People are doing it all the time. And the Christian is to flee these things. The fool in this meeting is the one who rejects the Lord because your focus is on earthly riches. That's the fool. So he lost all reason. He lost all his earthly riches because he took none of it that night. The crops were still in the field. The barns were not built. He lost all of heaven because he was not ready for the kingdom of God. Look at verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Note how the Lord makes the application of this parable. That's the application. That's the rub-in statement. That's the thing that's making the difference here. That's the so what clause of the whole story. Not rich toward God. You might be rich in this world. Indeed, compared to medieval times, we're all rich. We all live in mansions. We all live in great comforts. We all live with no fear of the next meal. We are rich in this world. But the question is, are we rich toward God? Some refuse to be a Christian because of what it may cost them. And cost it will. We don't sell a cheap religion. We don't sell and peddle a gospel that's not going to cost you anything. But it's the right thing to do if you love your soul and would spend eternity with God. Some fear that they will lose opportunity at work or even their job. Can a Christian do the job that you're doing? Some think that to get ahead, they might need to remain free to lie, cheat, and go the way of the business world in some shady dealings. Is that the way you want to live? And remain poor toward God. What if you get riches by these worldly carnal means and you lose heaven? Then you're the fool. You're the fool. The man that has seen the glory of heaven will not bicker over the little trinkets of this world. Think of those on that lonely island. They've never seen the world. They've never seen electricity. They've never heard of a computer, the World Wide Web, a telephone. They've never heard of a train, a car, smartphone. They're living in a world of rocks, feathers, bones, fighting over them. In comparison to the glories of heaven, and how shall I describe a world where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more night, for the Lamb is the light thereof. A glorious world where Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For that world, you're dabbling in a fool's game of seeking the riches of earth, which are temporal and will be burned up, dissolved, the Bible says, and you're not rich toward God. Oh, today I would you would run to the cross, run to Calvary. Plead the covering of Jesus' blood. Find redemption, that you're not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. You're not rich until you're in Christ and redeemed by him, bought by him. Then you're rich toward God. Would you take that step today? Would you give your heart and life today to be a Christian, to renounce the world, repent of the vanity and the schemes of worldliness, to turn your life over to God, to seek first the kingdom of God and trust him that all these other things will be added unto you? That's what the Christian's doing. I call you to believe today and trust the Lord. I call you to give your heart. I don't know what's keeping you back. I don't know what the world's grip upon you is. I don't know what hook the world is using. But I bid you to shake yourself free from that and give your heart and life to the Savior today. There's a battle in your heart, I know. I've sat where you're sitting. As an 18-year-old, I sat in a church bench listening to the preacher of this same gospel. And I had to renounce my interest in the world and seek to be rich toward God by faith in Christ. I understand that battle and that the momentous decision you're asked to make. It's huge. It's no little step. But it's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between wisdom that is godly wisdom and the fool that chooses the world. And so I bid you to take that step and believe in Christ as your Savior. Will you? As I usually ask or say, if I can help you further, please sit in your seat when others leave. I'll be happy to talk with you about that step of faith in Christ.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I do sincerely count it a great privilege to bring the message of God to you today through the airwaves over radio. And I pray that this word will give you a heart that is receptive to the need to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior and get right with God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so he is the only Savior. He's the only way to the Father. And he will save you if you call upon him. If you seek him with all your heart, you will be saved. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus that will make you as white as snow. You need to have a new heart that is changed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh that is malleable and listening to the voice of God. Now, if I can help you in your search to know the Savior, if I can even just open the Bible and point to a Bible verse, have you pray over it to seek the Lord, then I'll be glad to help you. And all the details are coming up now in these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.